Thank you so much for watching. This is Corey from CoreyBakerFilmmaker.com, and I just saw 1917, written by Christy William Cairns and Sam Mendes, and directed by Sam Mendes. I caught this flick at the AMC 20 in Norwalk, which is a little bit further away than I would normally like to go for a movie like this, but I wanted to see it in the best possible format, so we saw it in the Dolby Theater there, and everything about that experience was great. I would say that the concessions, that sort of thing, they had some gremlins going on that night. And hopefully that's not usually how they roll, but, you know, just heads up. The plot of 1917, we follow the journey of Lance Corporal Blake and Lance Corporal Schofield, and they have been given a message to give to another battalion during World War One that the Nazis have planned a trap and that they need to get to the other battalion before they launch their attack, and they have 8 hours in which to do so. And it is following them on their journey across enemy lines to catch up with this other battalion and express this message to them. I really love this movie. Now, I'll say this. It's the one-shot aspect of it, the way that they try and film it so that it all looks like one continuous long shot. At times, it works really well because it's exciting. But then there's other times where it just sort of feels like we have to follow them, so therefore we're going to be just walking behind them with the camera for a while. But the actual, like, so let me take the crew side of it first, I guess. The work that was done by all the departments to make this movie happen is unbelievable. Deacons and the camera department did amazing work, just being able to move the camera seamlessly through all the moments in the film. I mean, sound did an amazing job. Production design. I couldn't even imagine having to design every single foxhole, every single location inside of this movie and have it so that it works sort of like in the continuous shot ideal. That means you have to dress everything. And you don't know if the camera's going to change emotion a little bit. So it's just an incredible job done by them. I mean, really the only place that the crew, I feel like, didn't, you know, really show us what they were was possible of them was editing. But because you shoot basically in camera to edit the movie, there's nothing they could really do about this whole thing. I imagine that when we eventually get to the night of the Academy Awards, we're going to have a ton of awards for 1917 in all the below-the-line positions, because everyone just up and down did phenomenal work. If Deacons doesn't get another win for this one, and I know there's been many Roger Deakins shot things that people have said the same thing. If he doesn't win for this, then what's the point of even having the award? But this one was really something special. And that's saying something as far as Deakins' career goes, because everything he shot for the last 20, 30 years has sort of been something really special for the most part. There's been a few misses, but not many. And going to the production design part of it real quick, just as a thing, I feel like I never give art and production design enough credit for the works that they do on some of these movies, because it's really incredible when you think about it all in the totality. But this one, I mean, you know, it to create the foxholes, to create enough space for which the camera can move for, you know, 10 minutes uninterrupted, let's say one of these shots that they're working on is going to be 10 minutes of screen time. That means you have to design enough space for somebody to walk 10 minutes worth of time, you know, and like the camera has to move and everything has to be right. It's almost unbelievable to think about, and everyone there did an incredible job. On to the acting. I liked all the performances. I liked that I didn't really recognize the two guys. I know that they've both done things, and I know that I have to catch up on some of the things that they've done. But, I mean, fairly new to me. Dean Charles Chapman as Blake and George McKay as Schofield both did wonderful jobs. They're the ones that we follow for most of the movie. Along the way, we do have some more, I guess, bankable stars is what we'll call them. Colin Firth and Benedict Cumberbatch is in the movie. I'll tell you this. I like Cumberbatch. I like Mark Strong. I like Colin Firth. They're all wonderful actors. And when I see them in movies, I generally get excited because they're very good. For whatever reason, in this movie, it took me out of it just a little bit because I didn't know who these two kids were, really. I mean, like, not at least by sight immediately. I couldn't say, like, oh, that's the guy who was in this movie. Which you can do with Firth and Cumberbatch. I just think that it helps the narrative of the story a lot when you sort of have quote-unquote unknown actors, because you don't instantly recognize them. You don't look at them and say, like, oh, that's that guy. You just sort of, like, fall into, this is Blake, this is Schofield. And I think that's really great as far as this movie is concerned. And I wouldn't say, like, lose Colin Firth and Benedict Cumberbatch, but, I mean, like, I feel like there's a more compelling version of the story that has other people in those roles. And that's, it's a minor nitpick, but take it for what it's worth. So when I'm thinking about this movie in totality, it's tough because I think the one shot is a wonderful way of telling a story and making a movie, and I like it when it's done well. In 1917 and Birdman, they're very engaging. I think part of the problem with it, though, is that it takes away the ability to really dial into moments. And I mean, I just wish there were more opportunities for not necessarily like B stories and stuff like that, or to make the whole thing. I mean, it's just, when you're doing it as one continuous shot, you're living in the time that you have set forward. So it works inside of a story that has to be allocated inside of a particular time period. It doesn't really let you roam away from what you have right there. It makes it harder for you to put in kind of any B plots. And, you know, the story becomes more one-dimensional because you sort of have to follow along this time period. And, you know, it's more difficult when you have a huge cast like you would have in Birdman, and you gotta like separate, you gotta break off into these other stories, and you're, you know, the camera's just following one person and then just goes through a wall and gets to another. I mean, like, it can be done. It just, it makes the way the human brain has been trained with editing and the way that it works. You know, if you have the moment where the guy says, I'm breaking up with you, and then you cut to the woman's reaction to that, then you have you're setting up for that emotional moment where you're expecting her reaction, and you're expecting that to be right away, show you the face, show the reaction, give you a few minutes before she actually says anything, just so you can take in that moment, and then bam, onward with the scene. It's tougher when you live on one camera and you're going back and forth between the two of them or something like that. It's not that it's wrong. It's not that I don't like it. It's just that it's a problem because you lose the ability to ratchet up emotion with editing, which is part of what editing has allowed movies to be so successful over the last 100+ years. That being said, in my mind, and maybe it's just because I haven't seen the film that really breaks this through for me, but I feel like it's a high floor, you know, low ceiling kind of problem. So, you know, with a regular drama shot in a conventional style with traditional editing and everything like that, you know, that movie could be the best thing I've ever seen. I could walk into that and it could be, you know, The Godfather per se. It could also be really bad. That's high ceiling, low floor. With the one shot, I feel like I generally like it. I mean, the people who put it out into movie theaters tend to have a good enough grasp on what they're doing that they're not going to give me a subpar product. So usually I can expect a higher floor and get a better movie than I would just an average kind of like everyday affair. But I just don't feel like it has the same capability to drive all the way to the heights of being amongst the best movie. I mean, like 1917 to me is probably the best one-shot movie that I've seen, but the limitations that it has and story and the ability to sort of meet our desires inside our minds to instant reactions and editing and stuff like that and how a movie is supposed to play sort of limits its ability to be the best movie, if you will, to be one of the all-time greats. Before I get out, I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about the 10 Oscar nominations that this movie got. Very well deserved. It's a front runner for Best Picture this year, and I think it has a pretty good chance of getting it. I think the achievement nature of it and the fact that enough people along the way have sort of given it the rubber stamp of this is good enough make it compelling to win Best Picture. For my vote, I would still put Once Upon a Time in Hollywood above it, but I also think that I could go either way on any particular day between this and 1917 and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. They're both very exceptionally good movies. And this year in general has just been a very good year for movies, especially at the Oscars. So I'm looking forward to seeing what happens there. But, I mean, to me, The Criminal Ones, if Deakins doesn't win, I don't even understand what we're doing with the award anymore. Sam Mendes, it's such a tight field and director this year, more than most. And while I think Mendes is, you know, it's kind of like a 1A, 1B here for this year with Mendes and Tarantino. And, you know, up at the top, there's four, maybe five pictures that have a legitimate shot of probably winning Best Picture. This is one of them. It sort of feels kind of dice gamey to me, where it could be any one of those. It's just sort of like how it's going to play. I have an urgent message I must deliver to the leaderboard! Saw this movie at the AMC Norwalk 20. Enjoyable time. So go check it out. Especially if you're a little bit south of Los Angeles, because it took a little while to get there, but worth it, because they had AMC Dolby Theater set up there. On to the movie leaderboard. I like to usually take a couple days between seeing a movie and doing a review, if I can, because it gives me a couple days to sort of gestate on it. I think my initial reaction when I left the theater was, oh my god, this is incredible, I've never seen anything like it. Over the last couple of days, I've sort of softened on that a little bit. I really would like to see it again. I think that it has a lot of things about it that are compelling and amazing, and I just like to be able to sort of take it in on a second viewing. That being said, I also sort of thought more about the flaws in this movie over the last couple of days as well. And, you know, flaws is really just kind of like it's just a word, an arbitrary word to throw in there. It's not that this movie is flawed in any kind of major way. It's just that, you know, without the ability of, like, the traditional story structure that a movie audience has been associated with, it takes a little getting used to, and it takes a little bit of, you make compromises here. You know, you're not as strong in story because you have to follow the narrative sort of in real time. And, you know, you lose out on the ability to really play with the emotions through editing because you don't have the same traditional editing you would have in a regular picture. That being said, I think this is probably the best one-shot movie I've really seen. I you know, Birdman was an Oscar nominee. I don't even remember if it won offhand, but, you know. Birdman was fantastic, but I think this is better. And if I had to give it a rating, I would give 1917 a 9.2. So right up there on the leaderboard. Really, I just think everyone should see it. You don't have to rededicate your life to the throne of Mendez and Deakins like many people do, but definitely go see it because it's a really, really amazing film. Anyway, that's it for me. If you would like more, you can go to my website, CoreyBakerFilmmaker.com. Facebook.com/CoreyBakerFilm, at LegendCB5 on Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat. I'm in the middle of a feature right now, so my ability to see movies is getting a little bit difficult, but I definitely want to see everything left on the Best Picture nominee before the Oscars come out and release those videos, so I'll find time to go out and do that. And yeah, I hope you enjoy. So thank you so much for watching, and until next time.